Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon comes to us from the Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 7, focusing in on the rejection of the Christ. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is coming, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, he healed many people of sicknesses and diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, keep Christ in Christmas. That's the cry that we hear this time of year. It's usually coming from well-meaning Christians who are moved to shouts of protest when they get angry about the secularization of that most holy day, that day that our Lord Jesus was born into this world, that day when the Virgin Mary looked down at the baby laying in her arms and saw that he was the God who created her, and yet the baby that she created in her womb. What greater thing can there be? Of course we want to keep Christ in Christmas. This Christ's Mass that we'll celebrate on the 25th. Is this a good cry? Yes! Keep Christ in Christmas. But are we doing it? Are we keeping the Christ in Christmas? Can we keep the Christ in Christmas? In the text today, John the Baptizer, who was imprisoned by King Herod for decrying his marriage, that marriage that Herod began by seducing his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, John sends his disciples to Jesus. It's funny, isn't it? We really only think about Jesus having disciples, followers, learning at Jesus' feet. But John, the man that Jesus says is the greatest man who had ever lived, was a man who by the very word of God and the baptism he performed was a dynamic preacher. John was a man who told people exactly who they were. Sinners before the God of Israel, who needed to repent and trust in that very God. And when John sees Jesus at Jesus' baptism, he cries out that this man who was born as a baby and yet who is God himself, he cries out that this Jesus is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, God himself who will take away the sins of the world, who will make all things new. But now John languishes in prison. So he sends his disciples to ask Jesus to see if he truly is the one God who was sent to do all of these things. Was John tired? Was he beaten down? Was he worried that his ministry was in vain? Maybe. It seems that John just wanted final confirmation. John knew that he was going to die. And so he will. His head will be chopped off and put on a silver platter and delivered up to Herod's party. Where was the Christ? Couldn't Jesus have stopped it all? He's God after all, right? Why didn't Jesus save John? Well, Jesus answers John. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. These are the signs of the Messiah, not Jesus' miraculous intervention in John's death. They had been foretold by Isaiah, and now Jesus is saying that the sign of the Messiah is fulfilled. It gives John comfort, just as it gives us comfort, to know that the Messiah has filled every prophecy that was ever uttered about him. And so we, like John, can trust that Jesus is the saving Messiah, the one anointed by God to save us from all of our sin, just as John himself proclaimed. But then Jesus adds this very strange phrase, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." What's that supposed to mean? The one who isn't offended by Jesus? Who could possibly be offended by Jesus? He's making blind people to see again. The lame are walking because of him. Lepers are cleansed from their diseases, and their skin is made new. The dead are raised up out of their slumber. Families are reunited because of that. How cool is that? And moreover, the poor hear the good news of Jesus preached to them. Who could possibly take offense at that? Well, seriously, let's consider who could possibly take offense at that. People that aren't healed? People that aren't raised? No. No, all that saw Jesus and asked of him were healed. All that came to the Savior received what he had to give. So who could take offense at Jesus? People who reject him, of course. And why would they reject him? Because of the very last thing that Jesus says. The poor receive good news preached to them. So these people who reject Jesus, they don't think they're poor. They're rich with the trappings of their lives or the philosophies of their dreams. They don't think they're poor. They give to the needy. They don't think they're poor. They think they've got it made because people think well of them. They don't think they're poor because they don't judge others. They don't think they're poor. They think they're reasonable people who just kind of scoff at religion and who don't believe in a God because they can explain the universe rationally. They don't think they're poor. They think they're generally good people who don't really have sins. They haven't murdered anybody. They haven't committed adultery. They keep their oaths. They're inclusive. They don't think they're poor. They think they're getting by, and they don't need Jesus. Sounds like there are a lot of reasons they reject Jesus. Same today, right? Our society doesn't think that they're poor. They get more and more stuff and more toys. Our society doesn't think that they're poor. They come up with humanistic philosophies for selfishly serving their fellow man, or they follow after false religions that will only lead them to hell. Our society doesn't think that they're poor. They take the creation and they think that they can figure out how and why all things are without God. They don't think that they're poor. They think that they're good people who will get to heaven because they've done more good than bad. They don't think they're poor. They think that they can remove Christ from this world and they can get by without him. Even today, as our country reels from the news of yet another horrific massacre of children, this time in their own school, as they went about their own education, our country is rejecting God. We ask, where was God in all of this? Or we think we can fix it. We think if only we had more laws, or less laws, or more oversight, or less oversight, or more restriction, or less bullying and less anger, or more helping and more love. If only we could do something, then this massacre wouldn't have happened. To focus on this, we miss that we ourselves are just as evil as the gunman who killed those children. The same evil resides in us. We miss then that the answer to this evil is not more restriction of evil, but it is more Jesus and more forgiveness. But our country, our society does not want Jesus. They want answers, and they want it their way. I do this a lot. I reject Jesus a lot. I live in this society, and I can easily criticize all that we do, but at the same time, I do the same things. I sin. I treat people badly. I gossip. I complain. I don't go to God with my concerns. I think that I can handle my life on my own. I explain God away when I sin, thinking that He can't see me, or that He can't hear me, or that He can't smell me. Whatever it is, He can't do anything to me. And I have a sneaking suspicion that you do too. Keep Christ in Christmas? Bah, humbug. I can't even keep Christ for a second. Keep Christ in Christmas? I can't even be truthful with Him. Let's be honest for a second, shall we? I am heartily sorry for my sins, we confess. I sincerely repent of them. Come on! I can't do that even when I want to. I'm lost. I can't turn to God. Can you? I can't get anything from Him on my own. You see, if it were up to us, that would all be true. But it's not up to us. Just like with John the Baptist, it's up to Jesus. In the text, we see that when Jesus says these things, a whole bunch of people, even the tax collectors, who are like the most evil IRS agents, even they declare that God is just, that God is righteous, that God in Jesus Christ is doing good and right and salutary things. And why do they do this? Because they have been baptized. And so have you. And this, even though our country mourns, this is cause for great joy. That's why we light the pink candle. The candle of joy this Advent season. Even though evil occurs all around us, the church celebrates together our baptisms, our lives in Jesus Christ. We have been baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of the Christ, just as those who were following after Jesus had. Our lives have been upset. They have been turned upside down, turned completely around, not by the world, but by our baptisms. Keep Christ in Christmas? He's already inside of you. Keep Christ in Christmas? He is already present in this church. Keep Christ in Christmas? He's already given us His real and true body and blood in the Lord's Supper, and we will celebrate it continually until He comes. No one can take Jesus out of Christmas. No one can do this. We can no more separate Christ from Christmas than we can remove Him from this church, from all the churches. As long as this church continues to celebrate Christmas, as long as the church continues to gather in God's presence, Jesus will be here. We should not be surprised that the world, just like the Pharisees and the legal experts of Judaism, should not be surprised when they all reject Jesus. We should not be surprised that they want to tear down the manger scenes and that they want to say happy holidays and that they want to celebrate the winter solstice and remove God from all mention in the world. We should never be surprised at the evil that exists around us, even when children are slaughtered. King Herod even slaughtered innocent children right in front of Jesus trying to kill Him. You see, people rejected Jesus all the time, even right in front of Jesus. We shouldn't be surprised by any of this, because we do it. We reject Christ. We do, all the time. We shouldn't be surprised that the world is keeping Christ out of Christmas. We should expect it. Jesus offends them. They don't need him, they think, but they do. They do need Jesus. And because we keep Christ in Christmas, because we celebrate Christ here each and every week, because we are strengthened by Christ in our vocations, because we have been baptized in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we are in a prime position to bring Jesus to the world. We keep Christ in Christmas not by forcing our society to put up manger scenes, not by making them say Merry Christmas, not by railing against how Christians and Christmas aren't welcome in the world. We know we're not welcome in the world. Jesus promises this. He says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. So this Christmas, before the face of the world, love people. They may hate you for it. Show them Jesus in your words and actions. They may hate you for it. Rejoice in your baptism, your salvation. They may hate you for it. Be poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. They may hate you for that too. But more than anything you do or anything that you are, celebrate the gift of God this Christmas that he has given to you in Jesus Christ. Celebrate it each and every day in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, and know that if the world hates you, it's because you are no longer of the world, but you have been saved from it by Jesus in the very baptism by which you have been received into this church. Keep Christ in Christmas? Absolutely. The church will continue to do that, and you can get him here anytime you want and rejoice. That is Jesus' promise. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.